when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. Like we said just a minute ago, we've transferred, we've gone to the second hour, and we have my big sister, Nancy Hitt, and my little baby sister, Monica Schaefer, coming on. God, we're so fortunate to have those people. Nancy actually made the outline for today's show, so we've just been following her blueprint and for the second and third hour, pretty much. She's totally done that for sure. And like I said, we've gone to the second hour. I was fiddling with this phone, getting a message while I'm trying to talk to you. People, get a pen and a paper, because Biscuit, good old Biscuit from Florida, he sent me and Mark. Here I am, Mark's an executive of the League of the South. I've been in the League of the South since 2017. I could not remember the address off the top of my head. But here it is, if you would like to donate to the League of the South. And I can highly recommend it. It's the only organization of its kind that I know. We're very militant, because we're going to have to be militant to survive. But anyway, if you got your pencil, here it is. This is the address. It's League of the South, Post Office Box 760, Killen. That's K-I-L-L-E-N, Killen, Alabama. 35645. I repeat, League of the South, Post Office Box 760, Killen, Alabama 35645. It's a very worthy organization. We survived. The only organization I know of its kind that survived the Battle of Charlottesville. We're still standing and still just as militant as ever. Anyway, with that, people, like I said, we transferred. We transferred to the second hour. I'm trying to read a little chat thing here too, so I guess I'm getting too distracted. So anyway, we're just talking about Sister Nancy and Sister Monica, and Sister Nancy put the outline together. So Miss Sister Nancy, since you put that outline together, you're the worker. She's the cow. Sister Nancy is the cowbell of Blood River Radio. Anyway, so what are we gonna do, Boss Hog? I mean, Boss Sister. You're the boss, man.
Well, I think Monica wants to talk about the Holohoax Memorial that is
I just want to ask if everybody has, you know, cried their 6 million buckets of tears yesterday, right? Because
yeah,
that's
I
what
did.
We were supposed
yeah.
to do. Good, good. Yeah. I'm glad you took care of that. Good.
I did.
I'm still crying.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. Because yesterday was a Holocaust, International Holocaust Memorial Day, apparently. Or maybe it was just Holocaust Memorial Day. There's another one coming up in March, apparently, in Israel. I'm not sure. They just,
oh, wow.
they're really hammering us harder and harder with this. Whoops.
Definitely.
There,
definitely.
I took care of that. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, yes, of course they are. And, you know, it's interesting. It's always in your face, and apparently they've been trying to build some kind of monument to these 6 million dead. They're trying to build a monument and right on the near the Houses of Parliament, which my understanding that is an area that has been is not to be molested, but of course these people will molest anything. So there's a man by the name of Lord Pickles who's been pushing for the British to spend hundreds of millions, 100 million pounds, it looks like, to build some kind of monstrosity to in-your-face push this for the tourist and the British right near the Houses of Parliament.
That's right, Nancy. So they actually passed legislation now. And, I mean, let's just, again, remember who is the Prime Minister of Britain. It is not an Englishman. It is not an right. Englishman of, you know, been there many generations, nothing like that. No, they have a foreigner as a Prime Minister. And this is how the Jews like to thank us, the Gentiles, for... Well, what are they thanking us for? I mean, really, this is just so egregious. As they have been the cause of millions and millions and millions of our people killing each other in these brother wars called mm-hmm. World War I and World War II, which really were brother wars, white people killing other white people at the behest of the Jews, but in a very deceitful, veiled manner. They're always the ones behind the scenes. They're the puppeteers. They're maneuvering. They're, you know, creating the conditions for these wars, getting our people to kill each other, kill the best, you know, this is in the protocols of the Elders of Zion, the best of the Goyim deserve to die. That's what they say. And it's what's going on right now in the Ukraine is, you know, white people killing white people at the behest of Jews once again. But anyway, so this is a legislative, it's an order, basically, because this Holocaust memorial that they want to put on this public land in the middle of London has been very controversial. They've been wanting to do this since years already, but there have been obstacles. Obviously, people are against this. Many good people are against this, and they've been fighting hard. And meanwhile, the so-called Holocaust survivors are dying off, of course, because they're now, you know, maybe 100 years old or 102 years old, and every year they come out with new stories about new survivors and whatnot. I mean, they'll be pumping this out forever, and oh, it's so sad that this isn't up yet because they're dying off, and it should have been built so that we can see this still while we're still alive, you know. So anyway, this is going on. It's the legislation, as far as I know, has been passed to make this happen. Now, when I've never heard of such a thing that a law would be passed to force a museum to be built. Have you?
Well, not really, but I guess they can do anything. Yeah, you're talking about these survivors. They're, you know, they crop up on television, and I always have to call and say, you know, they'll say these poor Russian Holocaust survivors. Well, I'm curious, how do these Russian Holocaust survivors end up in Russia? This in itself seems quite, I thought these people were basically picked up in Germany, Poland. But anyway, you know, they must be over 100, and they are still wanting handouts in for the so-called Russian survivors of the Holocaust. Of course, it's all a big con. And, you know, one of the things that most people may not know about is the monstrosity that has been forced upon the people in Berlin. It's over 2,700 of these concrete blocks. They're about the size of a coffin or larger that take over. They're in an area right in Berlin dedicated to these so-called Holocaust victims. It's just in your face. Acres of these blocks of horrible, ugly. It's just nothing. It's not artistic. It's there's nothing even inscribed that I understand on these horrible, ugly blocks. And of course, it was created by an American Jew who designed them. But it's just another slap in the face at the to insult the Jews and make them feel guilty. I mean, insult to the Germans. I'm sorry, not to the Jews, to the German people.
I'd like to make a brief comment, and to, you know, the first person to tell me this, I believe, was Sister Monica, and I'll get this going, and Sister Monica can finish it up. Jews and their protocols and their other documents, they have stated they want to make art ugly. How about that, Miss Monica? I think you told me that.
Correct. Actually, I wrote an article about it a few years ago in which I was basically talking about the degeneration of our art and culture and music and whatnot. And so I did some research, and this is in the Congressional Record, 1963 of the United States, the Congressional Record, and it's the Communist Party, which I should just point out who the Communist Party is composed of primarily. It is a Jewish thing, this mm-hmm. communism, right? So anyway, they have it written there, I think it's article maybe 21 or 23, to make art ugly and to put our people, meaning the Jews, into positions of being the art critics, put them in positions of heading up the museums, like the curators, that kind of thing, put their position, their people into the positions of, you know, who writes the pieces critique, in the newspapers, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, about art mm-hmm. and about music, and so push ugliness in music and art, so degenerate the culture, basically to separate us from our European heritage, to make us scatter us, like just to atomize us, to make us not understand who we are, to make us mm-hmm. basically hate ourselves in the end, because we get such a cognitive dissonance from these ugly art pieces, but then we're told by these art critics that this is actually really sophisticated, this is good art, and we don't understand it. Oh, you don't understand it, you're just kind of too stupid to understand, you know, this is really good.
Oh, right. That's right.
And I hear the music, and I'm glad you have good music.
That's the best music. Folks, continue to listen to that music until we go to the commercial, and we'll be right back.
Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Well, welcome back, folks. I don't guess us hard heads here on Blood River Radio could be reached, or we'd be catching so much flack, so many attacks. But have no fear. I think our webmaster will be able to circumvent those attacks and get us back online before too long. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money. Thank God our webmaster likes us. So we'll be back online hopefully within a couple of days. Last time, I think it took about 3 days to get us back up, and hopefully we can stay up a while before we get knocked down again. But it's a never ending fight. That's what happens when you get hot and start telling the truth first time every time. But anyway, we're gonna go right back.
I got knocked down too, Eddie, but I'm back too. My website was down for about 10 days or so. I'm not sure how long it was down for, but I'm back too.
That's bad news. It's good news. But anyway, back to you anyway. I'm so glad you're back up again. I really am. That gives me, you know, encouragement, because if you can get up, anybody can, because they hate you more than anybody. But go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, it might have just been technical issues. I really don't know, but, you know, it has a way of happening.
Yes,
kind
it
of happened soon after I published an article there that, hey, my book is up. My book is out there. But anyway, it's okay. We carry on every day. We do what we can and whatever we can and however much we can, and we just carry on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. We would do it to the day we die. That's just in our blood. You know, I was talking to, who was it? I was talking to someone about that. Oh, I know who it was. It was Sam Dixon. I said, I don't know why I do this crap. And I don't like to say me. I'll say why we, us people in this, our fellow staff members here, we do it because it's in our genetics. We can't quit. Even though, I mean, God knows it's not any money. We're getting money to airtime. Thank God for our great donors. It was a miracle we get money for airtime and for incidentals and for going on the road and for something coming up in June probably. But I don't know of anybody that makes a lot of money out of radio. It's just, it's a calling. It really, we just can't quit. Well, we see evil, we want to fight. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
What it is that when you understand what is at stake, when you really figure this out and you come to understand what is going on and then what is at stake, nothing else matters anymore.
Right.
Nothing else matters anymore. When people tell us, I might lose my job, or I might, whatever. Just, you know, that all won't matter if we don't get this right, because
right.
You're not going to have those things anyway if we don't get this right, you see. So
right. That's
how I see it. And I know that everybody else that's doing this, when I first started to get into doing a little bit of this and just started to really open my eyes wide, and I was amazed at some of the people who were just like full on, just this is what they were passionate about and this is what they're doing. I was amazed, but now I understand it, because now I realize, because I'm at that point, yes, I understand what is at stake. Our very existence is at stake. So
Monica,
anyway. You're
one of the bravest women around here. I tell you, for someone to take the mantle and speak up like you have done, and I'm working on this book, and I want to give a plug for your fantastic book. I was going to read a couple little things. I don't consider us to be what you would call Holocaust deniers. I'm going to say that we are fact checkers. We want to know. We want to verify and prove that there is really such a thing as this imaginary number. If it's really, it's kind of a secret. It's not a secret number. It's a very special number, this 6 million.
Yeah.
Because according to documents, this is an ancient Jewish prophecy had promised the Jews their return to the promised land after a loss of 6 million of their people. That's according to a John Weir article. And according to the book Breaking the Spell, publications and speakers had reference to the death or persecution of 6 million Jews on at least 166 occasions before the end of World War II in different locations and different times. But the most, I think, most compelling facts and information has to come from the Red Cross, who actually had access to German work camps. They actually documented the people who were in these work camps, and it never came, their death count certainly did not come up even close to 6 million dead within all of the people who were in these various camps. So
That's right.
Those are just a few little facts that people probably don't realize, that the Germans allowed the Red Cross in. We didn't allow the Red Cross into the place where your daddy was
it's my understanding. Sorry to cut in.
Yeah,
I just wanted to add to that The Germans invited the Red Cross and they wanted them in there, is my understanding of it. Is that your understanding of it, Nancy?
I would think that they would want that as a protection against allegations that they were abusing these people.
Exactly. In fact, I do have to say something else about that, abusing people. Did you know that at least two, if not more, but Ursula Haverbeck did this excellent research and found at least two of their own officers, like at Auschwitz, were killed by their own, by the German side, for having mistreated the prisoners. You know, I mean, these are war conditions, so you can, you know, everybody always says, oh, there's good and bad on all sides, and yes, bad things happen. Yes, bad things happen in war, but they had such strict rules about how the conduct of the staff in these camps and how they treated the prisoners, that the rules were so strict that they actually executed at least two of their own for having maltreated the prisoners. Imagine that.
Yes, I had heard about that, and I think this was common practice among the Germans when they had an allegation within their company that one of the soldiers had abused a woman or raped a woman, that they would actually execute them.
Correct. See, that's the difference between rules of conduct on one side versus the other side. And because, again, when people make reference to, oh, there's good and bad in all groups of people, because I'm sure everybody listening has heard that, and somebody who's doubting what they might be telling them, you know, they say, oh, there's good and bad everywhere. There's good and bad in all groups of people. Okay, but when your rules of conduct tell you to be good versus your rules of conduct tell you to be bad, that is a big difference. And I mean, with the Red Army, the Bolsheviks, and, you know, the invading army from the east, who were basically the communist army, they were encouraged to be bad. I mean, who was that character, Ilya Ehrenburg, who distributed leaflets among his soldiers, his army, to, you know, kill a German. If you've already killed a German today, kill another one, and rape, take the pride away of the German women, break their pride, rape.
Terrible.
So these were their rules of conduct.
Yeah, they were instigated on the German side. By the Jew, Beria, I think his name, Beria. They were instigated by the Jews to abuse the women, take the women as they came to Berlin. And of course, our stupid forces decided to go ahead and allow that to happen, because we knew it was going to happen, because of all of Eastern Europe had been overrun by these brutal people. They'd been torturing and killing people, and that's why there was all this influx of refugees, because of the bad treatment they'd been receiving in the East from the Soviets.
You know something else?
Yes. Awful. Yeah, go
ahead.
We
were told, Tom Goodrich's great book, Hellstorm, and backed up by Paul English, who did the audio of Hellstorm. And we're going to try to have Paul English on in February for Dresden month. But they said, get this, people, the so-called allies, the United States soldiers, were some of the worst. They were almost as bad as the Russians. He said that some of the French were really appalled at the horrible behavior of the American soldiers. They were raping with the best of them. You know, we have the wonderful allies, but I just throw that out there, one more fact.
Sure.
The Russians, when they would come through, according to Tom and Paul, the combat troops, the shock troops of Russians, were mostly white. They were white Russians. They looked like Germans, looked like Frenchmen. But they would come through, and they would actually warn the Germans, especially the women, get the hell out of here. We're the combat troops. We're the ones, we're driving your army back. But the people behind us, they're not like us. They're these Mongols. And they're the ones that are doing the raping. They're not the shock troops. The combat soldiers were pretty much white Russians. The Mongols came in and did the raping and stuff. Folks, I hear the music.
Eddie. That's right. That was good that you pointed that out.
And we'll go right back to you, Sister Monica, as soon as this break is over. Be right back, folks.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Los Angeles police investigating an early morning shooting that left three people dead and four others injured took place outside a party at a short-term rental in Beverly Crest, which borders Beverly Hills, a motive for that shooting not yet known. The release of the Tyre Nichols police video led to protests all across the country.
Hundreds assembled across New York City on Friday night, joining people across the country condemning police brutality. One of the large groups gathered at Times Square, where emotions were high.
Cops don't care where people die. Protect them, sir.
That's a lie.
One protester jumped on a police vehicle and broke the windshield, ABC 7 reported. Another person was arrested for punching a police officer. In New York, I'm Jerry Barmash.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy shooting down claims that Republicans will cut entitlements in their negotiations over raising the debt ceiling. In an interview, McCarthy said Republicans won't touch Medicare or Social Security. Earlier this week, he said he wanted to trim government spending unrelated to entitlement programs. House Republicans are demanding spending cuts as a price for lifting the debt ceiling. Former President Trump hitting the campaign trail today. He delivered the keynote address at the annual meeting of New Hampshire Republicans, where he made them a big promise.
I stand before you today and make this solemn pledge. When I'm back in the White House, I will ensure that New Hampshire remains the home of the first-in-nation Republican primary for many, many years to come.
He is also going to South Carolina, where he will hold his first 2024 campaign event. A CVS pharmacy near you may or may not be open when you need it. The Rhode Island-based company said it's adjusting the hours at about two-thirds of its retail pharmacies. The shift will take place beginning in March. CVS said it periodically conducts reviews to ensure pharmacies are open during peak customer demand. And the Powerball jackpot getting bigger. Jackpot for tonight's drawing up to a whopping $572 million. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Well, dear Blood River Radio people, welcome back. Just in case you're tuning in or just in case you had to go get you some coffee or something, welcome back to the program, folks. We got to go right back to Sister Monica. I believe she's the one that had the mic right before we went to that commercial break. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, I'd like to just say something about one of the myriad reasons that this Holocaust narrative was created, this fictional, as one rabbi put it, this very successful fiction that they put together with the Holocaust story. And by the way, they didn't do it right after the war. It took a few years before they really pumped this Holocaust narrative into our soft little heads. So Nancy had pointed out this mythical 6 million number, how important it's been since a long time for them that the, 6 million of theirs had to be sacrificed before their return to the promised land. I believe that's how it goes. And yes, many, mm-hmm. many newspapers had the reference to 6 million lost souls or 6 million persecuted Jews or 6 million Jews are in danger of this and that. And the other thing, since the late 1800s, the early 1900s, there were references in newspapers about these 6 million Jews. Okay, mm-hmm. another reason why they had to put this narrative out is to distract the world away from what the Allies did to the Germans. because it was just so horrendous what was done to Germany and to the Germans. It was so completely barbarous and evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, the number of German civilians who were holocausted, and I do use that word deliberately, because the incendiary bombs on cities, and, you know, starting with Hamburg in, I believe, 1943, and then ending, maybe not ending with, but Dresden is the very well-known case of bombing a city that is unarmed. It's not a military target, and it was stuffed to the hilt with refugees, like people fleeing the Red Army from the east, and so it was just stuffed. Nobody really knows how many died, but the official number is, you know, maybe 1/20th of how many died. Officially, they say, oh, 25,000 died. No, it's probably closer to 500,000. But nobody will really know ever the true number, because the city was pumped full of you know, injured or fleeing people that were fleeing the Red Army. So, yes, this was done to Germany. And then the rapes and the starvation after the war. And we just talked about that in the last segment. This was deliberate strategy, deliberate policy. So, okay, you know, some people were talking about that on the Allied side and were objecting to this, but attention was diverted away from that by this fantastical story of what the evil, evil Nazis did to the Jews. And it was, and it worked. Like, look how we were all, quote unquote, educated in school.
Sure.
I mean, it worked, right? Like, until I started waking up, I mean, I believed what they told us about Hitler and being the baddest man on the face of this earth. And, you know, until I started learning the truth.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, that's what you learned. That's what we all learned, basically. But, you know, not to, you know, I agree with what you're saying. And, talking about diverting, but you know, I think in a way, from what I have read in various facts about Germany, it sounds like the Soviets were the ones who instigated a lot of this Holocaust propaganda right after the war. I mean, they were the ones that really started this talk about all of these Jews being killed. But that's something I had read. But you know, back on another subject, you know, when you read about Dresden, one of the things.
They're the Soviets are the one that came in after they pushed the Germans back east. They're the ones that built so-called Auschwitz. They're the ones that designed, that built those so-called concentration camps. And later on, when the experts came in to examine them, you could see right off the bat that they had pipes, sewer pipes that went nowhere, electrical lines that went nowhere. It was a total sham. They did that. And one other fact, you know, every city, not just Dresden, I'll make this quick. Every city in Germany had been firebombed. Dresden was one of the last, and you get this here. Did you know, we talk about Hiroshima and Nagasaki being hit by the atomic bombs. There were more civilians, more people killed in Dresden than there were in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. That's just another fact out there I'll throw out there. So continue. I didn't want to interrupt you. I'll go ahead.
Just one thing I was going to pitch out. I've read about the horror of Dresden and, you know, the people running to the river and running to water and jumping in, their bodies on fire. The bodies were on fire, and the fire could not be extinguished. You know what that was came from? That illegal use of napalm, which burns into the skin. Water can't stop it from burning. But we've continued to use that. I imagine we're still using it. I think we're still using it. We definitely used it in Vietnam. But we're the good guys. We are the good guys. We don't do those dirty things. We're the perfect Americans that never, war crimes never even, we don't even think about war crimes. It wouldn't be something we'd ever do.
No, we pretend they're the police of the world, or the, you know, the caretakers type of thing. But I want to add to what you said, Eddie, about the Russians building these sort of museum style displays at Auschwitz, where pipes went nowhere and this, you know, chimneys came out of nothing, or that kind of thing. But also what they did when they put out their stories immediately after the war, you're right, they did, is that their stories changed all the time. So at one point, the prisoners were put on conveyor belts and then electrified or electrocuted. Another point, they were put into vans and then gas pumped into the vans. At another point, what else? There were many, many different versions of these stories. So if the method of murder kept changing, and also the
shot.
Numbers...
Oh, they
yeah, they were shot, whatever. I mean, that would have been the easiest way, right? But so the methods kept changing, plus the numbers kept changing, plus locations have changed since they started to uncover all these lies about Auschwitz. Oh, it was two farmhouses next to them. I mean, the story has changed so much. Like, how far can you carry a narrative when the story keeps changing and the witnesses get, you know, their testimony gets shredded like it did for when they were on the stand in 1985 for Ernst Zundel trial. I mean, yeah, you know, when you have witnesses that are found to be not telling the truth. Oh, also the shrunken heads, the soap and the lampshades. No mm-hmm. Holocaust historian will maintain that that's true to this day, but yet they used those stories to traumatize the Germans, and they put those on display at the Nuremberg trials as if this is what the Germans did to those poor Jews. They made soap out of them and then washed themselves with the very Jews that they hated so much that they killed 6 million of them. Excuse me. I mean, there's something wrong with that, you know, twisted story in the first place, but that's found to be all lies. Sure. So if you have a witness that has found to be lying, then how credible is that witness?
That's right. You know, I want to read a little quote. I've always tried to define the Germans, and I think they're the most positive, educated, moral people, probably in all, certainly maybe in history. But I'm going to read something from your book. Your book is Sorry, Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust by Monica Schaefer. Now, this was written by an anti-German. He was against the Germans, but he had a big cabinet minister. He was a big cabinet minister. He held several posts in Germany. How anyone could say something like this? Ultimately, he wanted to do away with the Germans, but here's how he defined them, and I think it's a perfect definition. Germany is a problem because the Germans are more diligent, disciplined, and gifted than the rest of Europe and the world. And he continues on, Germany is to be contained from outside, hierogenized from inside by influx, diluted, so to speak. They were too good. They have to be mixed with the lower races. They have to be diluted. They have to be eliminated. This is a German who had a big official position, but he was really hated. He hated himself. He was a self-hating German, Joshua Fischer.
Yes, I do remember doing that research to find these wonderful quotes from these German parliamentarians. He had a very high position in the German government, that man did.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he was Green Party. Was he Green Party?
I don't know. I don't know about that. He was under Schroeder, I think you said.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at that again mm-hmm. to refresh that my memory on that. But the Greens are the worst, by the way. And I was involved with them, I'm sorry to say, but I did come around.
Like you said, they're green on the outside, but red on the inside, Miss Monica.
Exactly.
I want to put a plug in for your book. I've not read it all, but I want to put a plug in the next time around, next section.
Well, I'll tell you what, speaking of the next section, we're getting ready to go. I can't believe this is going to be our last segment of the second hour. Dear Blood River Radio family, hold on to your seats. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Well, I tell you what, the real power is something we are going to continue to take. I don't care how much the enemy fights us. I don't care how many times they try to take our website down. We'll be right back up. And we're going to get in the streets real soon, too. Got a little something planned for those little darting antifas out there. God willing. Well, anyway, folks, we're going to go right back to my little sister. Wait, or was it Miss? Was it Miss Sister Nancy?
It was Nancy.
Nancy. That's right. Hey, I finally remember something. Go ahead, Sister Nancy. We were talking about Baby Sister's book that I so cherish and would not take anything in this world for. So go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Well, I just want to encourage people to purchase her book. They know her now from listening to her on the radio. They know how courageous she is. The book is going to be, I've read at least a quarter of it. It's somewhere her friends turn against her is very upsetting. But it is a valuable book. It's worth reading. I know it's going to be great. I'm going to enjoy reading it. You can order it from the Barnes Review, Post Office Box 550. White Plains, Maryland, 20695, or you can go to the website barnesreview.com. It's $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. But I would highly suggest that people look into buying this book, and since you know who Monica is from listening to the radio program, it makes it even more interesting, more valuable to you, I think.
Well, Nancy, thanks for that. I just want to say that if my greatest hope is that that anybody who does order it and read it, that they share it with somebody who needs to read it, if you catch my mm-hmm. drift. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is maybe, you know, somebody out there who really has not looked into these things, and if they just have a very tiny crack open in their armor mm-hmm. where they are starting to, you know, see that the government doesn't always tell us the truth, and gee, maybe there's some deceptions going on with what's, you know, the world around us. And now is actually a really good time for this, because so many people are seeing through this corona lie, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So this is actually a good time when people are ripe for learning. So that's my mm-hmm. hope, that it gets shared with people who may not have just gone out and ordered it on their own because they're not there, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. my hope.
Right, absolutely. I think we were going to shift over to this omnibus bill of 1.7 trillion that some of the Republicans voted for, and it's really disgusting. Nine of the Republican representatives, you could have expect somebody like Liz Cheney to vote for it, But then you go over here to the senators. There's 18 senators that voted on this 4,000-page unread bill. You got some pretty conservative people who, at least they certainly appeared to be conservative. You got Tom Cotton, Jim Imhoff, Rob Portman, Richard Shelby, Richard Wicker, John Thune, Todd Young. All of these senators voted for this outrageous $1.7 trillion bill. They never had time to read it. It's 4,000 pages long. I do have just a brief listing of some of the things that are in it, but I'll just let, I think Eddie wants to say maybe something about it.
Well, I was looking.
If Eddie's not there, I'm just going to jump in. Yeah, I'll just jump in and say something because, okay, you have your omnibus bills in the States, and we have our budget bills up here in Canada, and it's not quite as large as your omnibus bill, but guess what? They did a similar devious, sneaky little act with this last budget bill, and they snuck in a Holocaust denial portion of it. How does that work? How do you get how do you justify putting something into a budget bill about history and forcing people to believe a certain narrative? Now that's what they did. Anyway, carry on, and I think Eddie's ready to jump in there.
Oh yes, I was just back. I was going through my computer looking for that. I had that that bill up. I haven't been able to find it, but as of right now, I was searching for it while y'all were talking. But I do remember this part here, though. There's been billions. Keep in mind, people, I'll preface this with, every day in Memphis, Tennessee, I see homeless people in the streets. You see a lot of veterans, especially from the so-called, the war in Iraq, Iraqi freedom, Desert Storm, and all this kind of crap. And these people were really, really brutalized in some ways. We weren't. It was different than Vietnam in some ways. They were exposed to deactivated uranium, which was still poisonous. It's been reported that there's been over a million since the Vietnam War, which was my war. There's been over a million and a half veterans come back with mysterious brain damages. Mm-hmm. And I'm not tooting my own horn, but I've had some scar tissue in my brain, and I found out because I was having all kind of seizures and stuff, and there was a diagnosis. It's a lot of veterans I've seen at the VA. They say, you got the PTSD, you got the panic attacks and all this stuff. Well, what they found out with me, and they found out with other people, we've had brain damage. That's why you have all these seizures I used to have. But anyway, getting back to this kind of rabbit trail, you see them on the street all the time, and you wonder, well, how many are fake and just trying to get money? And but you see a lot of veterans out there, and the government can't take care of the veterans, and they're talking about doing away with that. Somebody was telling me that I'm not on Medicaid or Medicare, that's for sure, but getting rid of like what 1.7 million people off the Medicaid, Medicare rounds. They're threatening Social Security, but they can send money, billion, I think it's something like I'm going to say something like
$100 billion so far. $100 billion.
To the Ukraine? To Ukraine to invade, Christian Russia now. And also, you can bet your sweet petunias, too, that is also in that omnibus bill was their Jews in Israel. They're going to get their millions and millions and millions every stinking year. That's for sure.
I think that may come. Go ahead. They get something like $3 billion early. They first right off the bat every year at least $3 billion. Yeah, but I do have a list of a brief list here of what is in the bill.
Please do.
Okay, you got $45 billion. This is $45 billion to Ukraine. Now, as far as I know, the total is about $100 billion that they've already. Maybe this is in a. In addition, I don't know. No, it'd be $145 billion. Then you got $38 billion emergency fund for U.S. floods and FEMA. And then you got, listen to this, overhaul of the electrical vote counting.
Yes.
Then you got plenty of funds, increased funds for January 6th prosecutions. You got retirement savings enhancement TikTok ban from federal devices, protection for pregnant workers, changes to Medicaid, increased support for military and vets, beefing up nutrition assistance, higher Pell Grant awards, help to pay utility bills, additional funds for Capitol Police, more money for child care, more resources for children's mental health, investments in homelessness and affordable housing, more support for the environment. Now, what I think is really quite insane, we come up with this $1.7 trillion unread omnibus bill, and on the other hand, they're crying about balancing the budget, and we need to, you know, now I think it's a red herring when they start talking about they're going to do away or cut Social Security. I think that's a Democrat ploy that they use every time there's an attempt to balance the budget. That's what they always want. They want us to think that that's on the line, but I really don't. I'm not going to fall for that. But what I think is really crazy, we're spending all of this money and all this handout. People didn't even vote for it. Couldn't have read it. There's no way they could have read it because I think it was introduced like 24 hours before they voted on it. And then on the other hand, we don't have the money to pay for past expenses, I guess is what you might say.
It's unbelievable, Nancy. Every one of those items could be commented on, but just a couple of them jumped out for me because I know that they actually veil their true intentions by packaging it really nicely. Like this is the way they operate. For example, the nutrition assistance. I think that they are then talking about, oh, let's feed insects to the people, right? And we're going to call this nutrition assistance. And then the support for the environment, we all know what they're about with that support for the environment. Yeah. They want to kill life on Earth by making not have carbon dioxide in the environment and calling it climate change when in fact they're doing chemtrails in the skies and manipulating the weather. So these are euphemisms. When they're saying, oh, we're going to do all these wonderful things, no, they're euphemisms for their agenda.
Another
thing too, you know, they keep talking about, oh, they reached the budget ceiling, Well, all these people they do that run this Federal Reserve or the World Bank, they just print this money, never existed anyway. It's just they just increase the debt limit, they print more money. And people keep in mind, and I know our audience knows this, for every time the federal government, the Federal Reserve increases the money supply by $1, that degenerates your purchasing power by $1 more. That's why inflation, that's why that John Maynard Keynes that developed the economic system we're on right now, that calls for endless printing of money. He didn't like gold and silver money, you know, with real value, because he said the printing of money, the people that control the printing presses can steal every penny from we the people. Through inflation, the cruelest tax it's called, and he said that not one man in 10,000 would know what the problem was. So that's what they'll do. And people, here's the end game. We always talk about solutions. This is the end game. They want to bankrupt this company. They want to keep creating higher and higher inflation, because that way it'll be just like it was in Weimar Germany when the mark finally be hit rock bottom, was totally worthless. The United States dollar is almost there now. That's what the end goal is, to crash it completely, to destroy it so they can get a new money system controlled by the Federal Reserve and the World Bank. It's digital, no cash whatsoever, no gold and silver, and they can control everyone through money like that. Because if your social credit score dips below a certain level and they don't like you, they just hit a button and they turn your ability to buy and sell off. And that's the end goal. That's the end goal of the system. But back to you, Sister Nancy. You did a great job of reading that.
Well, I think that's probably the goal. Yeah. Right.
Well, folks, I can't believe we come to this last hour. I guess Sister Monica has to bail because he has another appointment, I believe. Thank you so much, Sister Monica, for coming in tonight. Thank you so much.
Welcome. My pleasure.
Listen, stay in contact. We got us planned the rest of the show, so the rest of the month. People hang out. We're going to the third hour. We're going to pick up the Bitter Ender himself. It's going to be Sister Nancy, my big sister Nancy, my brother, the Bitter Ender. They're going to be riding shotgun for the third hour. Be right back, folks.